We stay in China for this next interview, but first, a couple of background notes. Think Big Brother from Orwell's 1984, and listen to this.
That's reserved for members of our Prime Flight program. You got to be a 4.2 or over to qualify.
Oh, I'm a 4.2.
Mm-mm. I'm afraid you're actually a 4.183.
Oh, well, that's not my fault. Some woman dinged me down in the cadre. Can't you just...
I'm sorry, it won't let me book it without the correct ranking.
That's a scene from Black Mirror, the British TV show. In this episode, the characters live in a world where status and ratings dominate every aspect of their lives. It's fiction, but the Chinese government's plan to rank its citizens using a social credit system by 2020, that is real. It's kind of like a credit score system, but instead of just financial ratings, this one will also pull together a person's social interactions, political leanings, and even purchase history to give them a trust score. The idea, officially at least, is that rating people's everyday behavior will improve society and move China forward. Rachel Botsman has been doing a lot of research into this. She's the author of Who Can You Trust? How Technology Brought Us Together and Why It Might Drive Us Apart. So just describe what the social credit system could look like in 2020. How might it affect a person's daily life?
So the social credit system, and I guess we would probably call it like a national trust score, will look at different dimensions of a person's life. So things that you might expect, like whether you pay your bills on time or your mortgage, but also your purchasing patterns. It will look at things that you say on social media and whether those things conform with the government. Where it gets, I think, very 1984 is it will also look at the patterns and behaviors of your friends and your social connections as well.
I'm just curious, what kind of behavior would be suspect and bring the score down?
Well, I think there's behavior that you would expect if you make a fraudulent payment or something like that. But then there's things that are more subtle. For example, if you buy like work shoes or nappies, you could be seen as a responsible citizen and your score might go up. But if you're buying lots of video games, your score would maybe go down because people would think that you were lazy. If you happen to post something on Tiananmen Square, that's likely to negatively impact your score. This goes beyond sort of the way we think about traditional credit scores and really gets into your characters and behaviors in a way that is quite frightening.
Right. What consequences could you face for having a low score?
The part that worries me is, in fact, the penalties, because if your trust score goes below a certain level, it could impact everything from where your children can go to school, what jobs you can apply for, the type of mortgage that you can get. Your transgressions, they will follow you forever. It is really a permanent record against your so-called trustworthiness. So your behavior could impact your children or your grandchildren for decades to come. There seems to be no limits. There seems to be no boundaries as to how far this can go.
What is the Chinese central government's justification for this?
The government's justification is both economic and social. So the reason why they're saying they need this is because just doing business in China can be hard. You know, when I interview people from China on this, they don't necessarily see this as a bad thing because many people in China do not have traditional credit scores, those sort of traditional gold standards of trust. And it's also so culturally embedded in the way that they live. So they'll say, you know, in their grandparents' generation, they knew that the Communist Party had a file on them, but they had no idea what was in that file. So this is actually the same system but digitized, but it's more transparent.
What do you see as like the really big picture implications of all this? Because it already feels like what people do online can affect them in real life. Can we trust companies and governments that collect all this data?
This particular chapter, it was one of the hardest pieces of the book to get right because it's really easy to take a Western lens. It's really easy to point our finger at China without stopping and actually saying, well, how far is this culture of surveillance from the West? You know, it sounds like completely nightmarish territory that the West would never descend into in terms of using these trust algorithms that are unfairly reductive about people. But then when you really look into the amount of data that companies are collecting and how they're using that data to get a complete picture of how we behave, where we are at any given time, what our political views are. We're not that far off. It's just the government doesn't own that data. And this was another point you hear from Chinese people, is that it isn't so far off in the West. It's just that you have no control because it's a black box system. There's a part of me that accepts that this notion of privacy is dead, and this idea that we're in control of the data that we post online and where that goes. I just think that's an ignorant position to take.
Rachel Botsman, author of Who Can You Trust? How Technology Brought Us Together and Why It Might Drive Us Apart. Thank you very much.
Thank you.